Let's pray. Ever-loving God, we come to you now in order to hear from you. Send your Holy Spirit to illuminate your word so that we might hear clearly and have understanding into its meaning for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in Mark, the 8th chapter, the 31st through the 38th verses. Hear now the word of God. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. A number of years ago, not here, so I'm not talking about anybody here yet. But years ago, I had this member say, "I hate Lent. I hate," and they weren't talking about drier Lent. They were talking about the Lenten season. "I don't like the music. It's dreadfully slow. It's painful. Nobody knows it. I don't like it." And then I said, "Well, tell me how you really feel." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Is it any reason we can't just skip over the Lenten season and have Easter?" And I said, "No. The beauty, I think, of the Methodist Church and our historical roots is that we practice the Christian calendar. We use the revised lectionary. We each year celebrate the life of Christ. We begin at Advent when we look forward to the coming of Christ, either the first coming or the second coming. We do both. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate when the wise men come and the acceptance of Gentiles of the Christ child. We move into Epiphany. We move into Ash Wednesday, into the Lenten season, where we begin that journey toward Jerusalem and to the cross, the old rugged cross. Each and every year, we make that journey. We celebrate those events. We move to Palm Sunday. We listen and celebrate the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. That Holy Week. Moving to Maundy Thursday, when Jesus gives us Holy Communion, the sacrament, where he breaks the bread and says, "This is my body," for the first time. And takes the cup and says, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins." We take the time to sit in the darkness of Good Friday and the crucifixion of Christ, where on the Sunday before they are yelling Hosanna, and the Sunday after, or Friday after, they are yelling Crucify. We get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We get to live in that time of Christ on earth with the risen Christ, with his disciples, then the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And we get to celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the ages till we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We do it in a 3-year cycle so that we preach and have the ability to hear and see and listen to most of the gospel and the Old Testament and the Psalms. I like spending time going through the Lenten season and looking inwardly at our own sinfulness. Well, my sinfulness. I don't want to look at your sinfulness, but my own sinfulness. To come to grips with the ways in which I have fallen short of the glory of God. And to understand better what Christ did for us on the cross when he died for us while we were yet sinners. Yeah. I don't want to jump over the Lenten season. You know, people weren't always as impatient as we are, because there was a time where everything took time. But as history came, it repeated itself, and as technology and things happened where tools were invented, people began to get more and more impatient. Did y'all know that? That's right. There was a time when if you wanted to talk to somebody, you had to go find them physically. There was no, what's that app where you can know every location of your children at 24 hours a day? My wife has that on her phone for our children who are 44 and 41. I don't want to know that much. We can keep up with people. We can call people. We can text people. We can FaceTime people all over the world. It's great. But it makes us more and more impatient. There was a comedian that was telling the story about being on a plane one time, flying somewhere, and next to him was this guy, and they get up to flying altitude, and the flight attendant says, "May I have your attention? We have the newest technology in Wi-Fi, and if you get out your technology and your phones, whatever you want, your tablets, we got the up-to-date, fastest Wi-Fi here up here on this plane." And everybody broke out their tablets and stuff, and they started watching whatever they wanted to watch or doing whatever they wanted to do. And all about 30 or 40 minutes later, it crashed. And the comedian said the guy next to him was belligerent. He couldn't believe that this thing would crash on him. He was really enjoying it. He said the interesting thing about it, 40 minutes before, he was happy and content not having any of it. And now he couldn't live without it. Impatience. But then he told the story of this couple that went from Atlanta to Washington State. They went and spent a week out there, came back, and he was asking them how their trip was. And they started by saying this. We had to wait 20 minutes to get on the plane. And once we got on the plane, it took 20 more minutes before they pushed back. And then it took us 20 more minutes to get in line to take off. We had to wait an hour longer than we should have to go. And what the comedian said was, the strange part about it, they didn't say anything that happened at minute 61 when they took off and flew 3,000 miles in 5 hours and landed safely. A trip that 200 years ago would have taken 10 years. How impatient are we? How impatient are we? We want to skip over all the things that we need to sometimes help us, that help us understand who we are. We really do. We make a mistake that way. When we look at our scripture this morning, it's very easy to miss things. We read the Bible, some people read the Bible. More people read the Bible if I ask you to read the Bible. But sometimes when we read the Bible, when we aren't reading with a schedule or a plan, we'll read maybe a chapter, and then maybe a week or two later, we'll read the next chapter. Or we might read the next day. It doesn't, you know, no rush, no hurry, no whatever, but we're going to read a chapter a day. And we really think that that is a story in that chapter. And we don't connect the chapter before with the chapter afterwards in the chapter. Sometimes we lose things in that. And we lose that in the Gospel of Mark. Because in Mark chapter 8, 22, we will read about Jesus healing a blind man in Bethsaida. And then in the 10th chapter, the 46th verse, we will read about Jesus healing a blind man named Bartimaeus. Bookends. Think of bookends. Blind people being healed of their blindness. Now, in between that, we have some of the things we read about here. Jesus takes the disciples up on a hill, and there Matthew calls it Caesarea Philippi, but he ends up, and there Peter professes Jesus as the Messiah. Y'all remember that? He professes that. And they don't get far before Jesus says something. And even though Peter has said that Jesus is the Messiah, when Jesus said what he says, he condemns Jesus. He gets on to Jesus. He corrects Jesus. That really makes sense. A few verses later, John, James, and Peter are up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is transfigured, and there appears Moses and Elijah. And Peter doesn't understand really what's going on. And all he wants to do is build these three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and stay up there because they're in the rarefied air of biblical holiness there, right? I want to stay there. Misses the point. And they go down, and no sooner than they go down, Jesus had left the disciples down at the bottom of the mountain to heal people, and they can't heal people. Then they get into an argument about who's the greatest. And then James and John, they really lose it because they say, when you come into your kingdom, Jesus, can we sit on the left and right side of you? In these stories, we see Jesus healing blind people so they can see, and we see the people who should see acting like blind people. They miss the point. They miss the point of why he's going to Jerusalem. In the 11th verse of the 8th chapter, Mark writes this, I think, brilliant verse. Speaking of Jesus, he writes, and he sighed deeply in spirit. If I was writing it, I would say, he sighed deeply in spirit and shook his head. Why can't they get it? Why can't they get it? You see, sometimes we can't get it either. Mark says that Jesus spoke plainly, not in parables, not in simile, not in metaphor. He spoke plainly. He wasn't talking. And Peter realized that the picture he had concerning Jesus was different. His picture of the lordship of Jesus Christ was different than what Jesus was talking about, and that's why he rebuked Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him. Get behind me, Satan. You don't read this in Mark because when Mark is writing about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, it's two verses long. The Gospel of Luke gives him more time. He talks about it for 13 verses, but the 13th verse of the 4th chapter is a great verse. Because after Jesus has been tempted those three ways, and he does not succumb to the temptation, it says that the devil or Satan leaves him for a more opportune time. He's letting us know that Satan is coming back. Satan is going to be tempting Jesus at every turn. And we read that throughout the Gospels, and you read it, hear it in this account in Mark. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He is about the kingdom of God and doing what the kingdom of God is supposed to be doing. It's not the kingdom of what we want the kingdom to be. He's not going to be a Messiah like David or a king like David. He's going to be a different kind of king, a selfless king who's willing, who loves us so much that he is willing to die for us. Get behind me, Satan. And at every turn, he is being tempted. Every turn. Every time the disciples say something dumb, when they should see and they don't see, he's being tempted. His family comes, they tempt him, and he has to do the right thing. People say, well, he really wasn't tempted, you know, because if Jesus is God, he wasn't tempted like we're tempted. No, he was tempted more than we were tempted. Many of us, and I being one of those of us, is one that when I am tempted, I succumb to the temptation. Because I don't wait very long before I act. I get a little bit of temptation and I act. And usually I don't act the way I'm supposed to. Sometimes I don't even think about it. It's a reaction. Do y'all ever react before you have a time to think what you've just said? Driving down the road, that's where I something happens and I condemn somebody before I think about it. I need to be willing to forgive them. Words come out of my mouth that I shouldn't say. I didn't even think. Have you ever not thought and said something? I don't want to be the only person in here who will admit that. I've been with you people 9 years. I know what you are like. But we will do those things. We don't even give ourselves time to think, and we're tempted. We react so quickly. It just comes out of our mouth, or it's just a reaction somehow. But in Christ, there was no temptation so great that he did anything different than what God the Father wanted him to do in bringing the kingdom of God to the earth, to break into the lives of the people then and now. And so we need to go with Jesus to Jerusalem. It's a journey that takes more time than a jet. It takes more time than waiting on the tarmac for 40 minutes or waiting for the plane to load. It means walking with him on a daily basis, allowing ourselves to be taught by what Jesus did and the way he lived and the way he loved and the way he did it selflessly, sacrificially, so that we might know and be like Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's unbelievably powerful when we do, because we're tempted to do otherwise. G.A. Studdard Kennedy was an English chaplain in the armed forces during World War I and a poet. And he came to believe that life's most basic question is, what is God like? And he wrote, Jesus came to show us what God is like. He came to settle that question once and for all time. Through what Jesus said and by what Jesus did, he revealed that God is love and that people matter to God. Spread the good news. People matter to God. You matter to God. He will never let you down. He will never let you go. I don't know what you're being tempted to do, but I know that God will never let you down, and he will never let you go. So like the blind man who regained their sight, men who regained their sight, we might all understand that God wants us to know not only about him, but also about ourselves. Sometimes we have to slow down and open our eyes and see how much like Jesus are we, and how much like Jesus does Jesus want us to be. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we matter to you, that we matter enough that even in our sinfulness, you loved us so much to die for us. Lord, the road to Jerusalem, to the cross, is not an easy road. But may we be willing to walk with you. Help us to see the ways in which we've gone astray, the ways in which we have not and we do not glorify you, the ways we act selfish, the way we are blind or turn our eyes away from those in need, the ways in which we do not love our enemies, the ways in which we fail you. May we come to realize that those are the sins for which you died for us. And may we change our ways. Open our eyes that we may see on this journey to Jerusalem. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.